You're listening to the Restoration Church podcast. And due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, we're still unable to gather as a whole family for worship. But we're confident that as we are scattered, God is still building his church. So you can watch our videos of our Sunday gatherings on Facebook Live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. or go get home church resources and the videos at restorationlex.com/this week. Again, thanks so much for listening. Well, my friends, today we continue our journey through the scriptures and what we have called restored. And if you're new, you don't know why we've called it that. It's because, well, the Bible, it's one big story. It's our story. And I hope you know that the purpose of studying the scriptures together as a church family, it goes beyond just gaining knowledge or having right doctrine. Although, hear me out, those things are important. Our ultimate hope is learning how to see our stories in light of God's big story. And we are now 11 weeks into this journey. It's hard to believe, but in a few weeks, we're going to be moving out of the Old Testament into the Gospel of Luke. And I pray that so far this has been as encouraging and as challenging to you as it has been for me, as we've walked through these stories afresh and seen God reveal himself to us through the scriptures. And I hope you picked up on these ideas and themes and common threads that have weaved their way through story after story after story that are pointing us forward to really the center of the big story himself, Jesus. And one of the massively important themes that we see over and over and over again in these stories is this idea of covenant. Now, I don't know if you know what covenant is, and I know that's a churchy word, but please stick with me today. But ultimately, very simply, a covenant is an establishment of a relationship. A covenant is a sacred bond between two parties that is ratified then by swearing an oath. So in a sense, a covenant is just two parties becoming one. Now, in the ancient Near East where the Israelites lived, it wasn't just an idea that they had. All the cultures around them, they were very familiar with the idea of covenant. It was common. But what was uncommon is what we see in the scriptures of how this covenant is established. These two parties that are being brought together are God and his image bearers, who have seen their relationship with him fractured by sin. And so God initiates covenant with his people to bring them back to himself. Ultimately, that's what the story of the scriptures is about. It is God's furious longing to see his sons and daughters restored to himself. And the first time we really see this covenant idea really come to light is in Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham, who we talked about earlier in our restored journey. In chapter 12, it says this: "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This is the covenant promise that God made to Abraham, that through his own family, his descendants, not just they would be blessed, but the whole of creation would be blessed. God was going to bless and redeem and restore the relationship with his people to himself. And notice here, this wasn't just a promise for Abraham, it's for his descendants, it's for those who would come after him. God's promise would come through a covenant people who we would later understand as Israel. And as his covenant people, they really had two responsibilities. They had to be a revelation and a representation of God to the world. And as a people of a promise, they would reveal the character of God to the world around them. And as they revealed the character of God, they would represent his purposes to the world as well. And it's kind of like in the words of Moses in Exodus chapter 19, they would be a kingdom of priests. They would be a holy nation. But the question is, as the story moves forward, is how would they become that? Because as we've seen up to this point, they're pretty messed up. Well, the answer would come as to how they would be set apart as the people of God in the very next chapter of Exodus 20. It's when we learn about the law of Moses. It begins with the Ten Commandments, and it moves on to a total of 613 and 13 laws that God gave his covenant people to set them apart so they could reveal his character to the world and represent his purposes to the nations that were around them. And remember, these laws were not an expression of God withholding good from his people. They were an expression of his pathway towards abundance, towards flourishing as his people, as his image bearers, as they were created to do. And at the very end of the Torah, at the end of the law, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God makes this promise to his people about his covenant. He says, This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, and I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. The choice was right there before the people of God, the same choice really they had in the garden. Will you trust God's faithfulness to you, or will you rebel and turn towards destruction and death? So now we are 11 weeks, as I said earlier, into our restoring journey through the scriptures. And listen, as we have looked back, there have been so many incredible stories of faith and promise, but what we have seen over and over again is that the people of God, they don't choose life. Over and over again, they rebel against the covenant faithfulness of God and choose their own way. And yet, the Bible is a story about a God who keeps his promises, even when we don't. Which brings us then to our passage for today, this beautiful text from Jeremiah chapter 31. And as we've made our way through the Old Testament and now into the prophets, we have seen a pattern continue to emerge, and that is that from top to bottom, the people of God have continued to rebel, have continued to forsake their covenant identity, and over again, they are facing the consequences of their choices. And it's into this messiness that the prophets begin to emerge, these voices from the margins who are not popular preachers, but are actually speaking things that the people of God do not want to hear, calling them to repentance, and yet reminding them of God's covenant faithfulness to them. But when we come to Jeremiah chapter 31, it is a turning point. Read this with me. It says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Finally, we have come to the point in our story where we are pointing forward towards a future hope, a new covenant, a new, radically different promise from God. I mean, listen to those words. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. You know, I think this speaks to a common misconception that so many people have about the Christian faith. I can't tell you how many times that I have had a conversation or talked to someone who has had a distorted understanding that Christianity is essentially a list of rules and rituals and guidelines that I have to follow in order to please God. And many of these people, maybe you even watching today, you try and you fail and you try and you fail and you try and you fail until you're just tired of trying. Because it's exhausting to try to live up to a standard that you will never be able to keep. And in a way, this is what the old covenant was. It was a list of laws and rituals to help God's people be holy and set apart, but it was a list of laws and rituals that they were never able to keep. But the Bible shows us that God knew this. And that's why he speaks into this new covenant with the prophet Jeremiah. He's reminding them the new covenant, it would take the law from being this outward standard to an inward reality. In other words, the pathway to being God's people of the promise was no longer about how well we do what we do, how well we can live up to this standard. It was now about remembering who we are and living into the covenant identity that he had given us. Which leads us then to the culmination of not just this story, but every story, and that is Jesus, whom the Bible reminds us was like us as human beings in every way, and yet he did not sin, meaning he kept the law perfectly. In Matthew 5:17, he reminds us, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Now, do you know what this means, restoration? It means that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law on our behalf. Jesus is our law. And on the night that he was betrayed, as he shared the Last Supper meal, the meal of communion that we have shared together so many times, and I can't wait to share with you again, he speaks these words. He says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Meaning, not only did Jesus become the fulfillment of the law for us, he also, by his blood, became the sacrifice for our sins. Which is all well and good, but we have to ask then, how would God write his law on our hearts? Well, after the resurrection and 40 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, there was an event called Pentecost where all of his disciples were gathered together in an upper room praying, and the Spirit of God fell upon them, inhabited them. The God of the promise, the God of the covenant, came to dwell within his people. Which means, as Romans 8 reminds us, that for those of us who follow Jesus, that therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free for the law of sin and death. I hope you hear this today. In Christ, you are free. Jesus has become the law for you. The Christian life is no longer about living up to a standard that you will never keep. It's about putting your trust in Jesus's fulfillment of the law on your behalf, putting your trust in him as Savior, as the one who died for your sins. And now, we, as those who follow Jesus as this new covenant people, we take upon ourselves the same responsibility as Israel to reveal God's character in the world and to represent his purpose, as well as people see what God is like through our lives together. But listen, that's not happening through a bunch of people who are exhausted from trying to live up to a standard they will never keep. It will come, though, from a people who are filled with the Spirit of God and together whose lives, as they live out the way of Jesus, becomes a city on a hill, becomes a light of the world to bless all nations, just as God had promised Abraham in his covenant so long ago. Restoration, I long to be that new covenant people with you. And so this week, as we gather in that covenant community called the church, in our home churches, I want us to dig into this idea of God's promise, his covenant promise. You can find questions, and we're going to get a little deeper into scripture this week with the questions, but you can find that at restorationlex.com/this week. You can also give, and kids resources, prayer requests, other resources that I've talked to home churches that have said, man, we've been using those as well. You can find that there, restorationlex.com/this week. You can also hear more about this passage on the Deeper Look podcast. and you find everything you need there at restorationlex.com/this week. We'll be back in this space next Sunday. I love you guys. I so love being this family of God with you. Let's continue to do it together by His love and by His grace to be this city on the hill, the light of the world together. Love you guys, and see you next week.